I'll tell you, this show is just flying by tonight. We'll be back in a moment. Graham Hancock, our guest. The rest of your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Graham, of everything that you have worked on over the years, and you've done a lot, is there an area, a subject matter that is so compelling for you, you want to keep going back to it, you want to keep revisiting that as a subject?
Well, I revisited and explored the mystery of the lost civilization over a period of 15 years up to and including my book, Underworld, in 2002. Can I just take this opportunity to just a moment to mention that I'm going to be on a speaking tour in the U.S.
Oh, sure, and I hope you swing by either Los Angeles or St. Louis where I can meet you directly. Will
Unfortunately,
you?
I won't be in St. Louis. At least it doesn't look that way at the moment. The details are up on my website under a button called Talks and Events and also on the Supernatural page of my website. I'm speaking mainly on the West Coast, certainly in Los Angeles at the Learning Annex. I'm speaking in San Diego, and I'm speaking at a conference called CPAC, the Conference on Precession and Ancient Knowledge, which is being held at Irvine University of California, just outside LA. And there I'll be giving a talk both about my previous interests, the lost civilization interest, and also about this new inquiry into the nature of reality and the role of the supernatural in human evolution. And that's between the 13th and the 15th of September. All the details are on my website, which is grahamhancock.com. Okay. Altogether, I'll be in the States for 3 weeks. I finish up in New York on the 2nd of November at the Chapel of the Sacred Mirrors. And I'm also in Boulder, but most of it is on the West Coast.
Okay. And I thought you said the 13th and 15th of September. Did you mean October?
I mean October, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I'm getting displaced in time. Yes, I mean the 13th to the 15th of October. I'm actually arriving in the U.S. on the 9th, and my first event is in San Diego at the Learning Annex on the 11th. And then the CPAC conference at Irvine is between the 13th and the 15th of October, as you rightly say.
Very good. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air with Graham Hancock. Hi there.
Yes. Hi. What an honor. This is Mayumi. I'm in Sacramento, California.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes. This is Mayumi. I'm calling because I was wondering if you've ever tried shamanic drumming to reach the altered states.
Yes, drumming very frequently accompanies ayahuasca sessions, and I know many individuals who have succeeded in getting into the necessary altered state with drumming alone. I know that shamanic drumming is a very effective technique, and for those who prefer not to use the ancient plant hallucinogens that many shamans work with, rhythmic drumming is another very effective means for altering consciousness. Some people find it easier to go into an altered state than others under the influence of rhythmic drumming, but it certainly does work.
Oh, wonderful. And I had a question about Huna. I know my grandfather was really deeply involved and about Huna. What do you know about that?
Sorry, I'm not quite sure what you're referring to.
I was wondering, is Huna a shamanic kind of thing also?
I'm lost as to what Huna is, sorry. Huna.
So am I. I've never heard of that. How do you spell that?
Never heard of Huna? It's a Hawaiian religion, ancient religion.
Right.
Yes, I guess Max Freedom Wong in the 50s was writing about it.
Okay.
And
I don't know. You can't address that, Graham.
Almost certainly does involve the shamanism. The ancient religion of Hawaii and of many of the islands in the Pacific did do so.
I learn something on this show every night.
Yeah.
Every night. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. It's a privilege to speak with you. My name is Peter. I'm calling from Plaski, New York, from WSYR, Syracuse. I am officially the president of Eastern Shore Chapter Paranormal. And Mr. Graham, you hit a nerve with me.
Thank you.
I've been a researcher for over 25 years of the paranormal.
Yes.
I am known as a Ghostbuster.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like these entities cross over to this dimension, not us going over there. Anybody can take hallucinogenic drugs, and I don't advise it, because that
have opens... Have you taken ayahuasca or any hallucinogen yourself?
Yeah, many years ago, I took marijuana.
But that's not
and a hallucinogen. And it caused me...
That's not a hallucinogen. I'm just wondering on what basis...
No,
you don't...
I'm
on
under
what
the
basis you don't advise that people acquaint themselves with a 10,000-year-old religious practice.
Why? Because it opens one's up person up for an entity to take over a body. It's called possession.
No, in my experience, that is not the case, unless the individual is unfortunately mentally compromised in some way, perhaps a schizophrenic, in which case I definitely wouldn't advise taking any hallucinogen. If the individual is normal and sane and balanced, they will emerge from the experience normal and sane and balanced, and it's complete nonsense.
Sir,
that normal, sane, balanced individuals can be tipped over the edge by hallucinogens. They can't.
Are you speaking on a religion, or are you speaking scientifically?
Well, I'm speaking scientifically. On the observation of studies of hallucinogens, they do have bad effects on people who are already mentally damaged. But for those of us who are sane and balanced, they do not have effects. And as the point of view of a religion, we have to understand that shamanism is the oldest religion on our planet, and we must not fall into the Western mistake of despising it. And we must realize that shamans have always cultivated altered states of consciousness, and the time-honored and respected method for doing that are the use of certain plants that have co-evolved with us. Of course, there are other methods as well, but we shouldn't just despise that. We should recognize the value and the validity of shamanic experience. One of the big mistakes in the West is that we just write off a whole religious culture because we don't like the way it does things.
You know, another reason why the governments aren't allowing this, these substances, could be because they haven't decided how to tax it yet.
Well, yes, that may indeed be the case. I mean, personally speaking, I can't think of any other area of public policy where other than the war on drugs, where policies that have absolutely failed, that completely failed to achieve their objectives. Drugs are awash in our society today. I can't think of any other public policy that has been maintained for more than 40 years, that has had billions of dollars plowed into it, that has so spectacularly failed to achieve its objectives and yet still gets billions of dollars plowed into it. It just doesn't make sense to me. It's a completely crazy system. But we must distinguish between different kinds of so-called drugs. And these sacred and ancient plants that have been used by shamanic cultures all around the world for tens of thousands of years, these have been field tested on human beings throughout our history with no ill effects. And it's time that our governments and those of us who are prejudiced towards them realize this. And at the very least, we should not despise the shamans for what they do. They just may know something that we don't know.
Yeah, and it's too bad that with the ayahuasca, what we have to go through in order to get into that state.
Well, I think the physical effects are very important, actually. I found it very difficult at first to sit down amongst a group of villagers in the Amazon, drink this foul-tasting brew, and then find myself afflicted with diarrhea and vomiting, basically in a public setting. I mean, this went against everything that I, as a Westerner, have been conditioned to. You know, we like to keep our toilet habits very private in the West. But what it taught me is that I'm placing far too much importance on my own body and on the processes of my own body, and that really what is the essence of me? It's not my stomach. The essence of me is my brain, is my consciousness. And that is the beautiful experience, the challenging, the thought-provoking, the deeply enchanted and mysterious experience that ayahuasca offers us. And if the price it charges for that is a little bit of nausea and diarrhea, then I'm certainly prepared to pay it.
Do you have to hold your nose when you're drinking it down?
It helps very much to have a lemon nearby, and just after drinking it, to take a little bit of that, just to nibble on that lemon and have a little bit of lemon juice. It kind of neutralizes the bad taste in the mouth. The smell of ayahuasca does even now make me gag, even if I'm not going to drink it. Even thinking about it makes me gag. But so remarkable are the experiences, and so healing have been its effects on me. For example, I have been a lifelong sufferer from the most catastrophic migraines, sometimes as many as 20 migraine headaches a month. Since I worked with ayahuasca, my migraines have stopped entirely. I don't have them anymore. completely gone, and that's such a gift from the plants. I can't thank the spirits of the plants enough for freeing me from that pain.
Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on the air with Mr. Graham Hancock. Hi there.
Good evening, George. Congratulations on the book.
Oh, thank you.
And you've made me a night bird, even though everybody tells me I should get to bed by 10.
No, no.
And I wanted to ask Graham. I've studied shamanism a little bit with Michael Harner, and
yes.
I've never taken ayahuasca, but I had an experience this year that I wonder if you could help me. Sounds very much like what you're talking about. I became really very ill because of a toxic exposure to mold in an apartment. It's another story, but
yeah.
Really, I became very sick, and I was desperately trying to move out, and it became worse and worse until I started to hallucinate for 3 days. Now, mold is a plant-like substance.
Yes.
And they're also using it in biowarfare.
Mold is, of course, a fungus.
Well, I had no idea that it could make you hallucinate.
Well, let me tell you that ergot, which is also a mold, which is also a fungus, is the basis of LSD. LSD mm-hmm. was synthesized from a mold,
mm-hmm.
from the ergot fungus, and indeed in the fungus family, find huge numbers of hallucinogens.
It was amazing because I was hallucinating, but I was still in the same consciousness that I could still function, so to speak, but I was aware that there were like messages, like all these, like what you're talking about, lessons coming through for me about what I had to do in life. But the strangest thing, I did see a doctor who was one of two specialists in the U.S. on this, and he said, oh, yes, hallucinations are very common with this. And I had not read that anywhere before. But I asked him about a hallucination I had for 3 days. Every time I opened my eyes, I saw black handwriting, script handwriting, like medieval handwriting. Everywhere in my visual field. And
very interesting. That's very common with DMT, by the way.
Is it? That's what I wanted to ask you.
Is to see scripts. And often as one is looking at this script rolling before one's eyes, one can't actually read it, but there's a sense, nevertheless, that information is being conveyed into the brain. It's like downloading a huge quantity of information that you might need years to integrate into your life, but the information is there on your hard disk, as it were.
Is that what happened? Because when you said before that this is written in our DNA, that's what prompted me to call.
Well, yes, this
writing.
This is an area we've not had a chance to get into too much in detail in the conversation tonight, but it is another explanation for why people all over the world, and going back 35,000 years in history, all record the same experiences with the same supernatural beings in altered states of consciousness. Either these things are a freestanding, free-existing spirit world, other dimensions, and that's actually the view that I favor, or in some mysterious manner, they have been written on our DNA since life first mysteriously arrived on this planet 3.9 billion years ago, and that DNA has been in all life ever since, awaiting the evolution of a creature that was capable of reading the message inscribed on it, and that creature is us.
It was fascinating because as sick as I was aware that I was into another frequency.
Yes.
And I kept thinking, wow, this is absolutely amazing. I have to research this after I get better, you know.
Good for you, you know, because most people are just so frightened by these experiences that they don't want to touch them again. And in fact, what we really ought to do is say here is a whole other realm of human experience. It may be very valuable, and we need to explore this realm. And find out what it means to us. And that is the view of shamans. So I would say you're on your first step to becoming a shaman. And you say you worked with Michael Harner. Of course, Michael Harner worked with rhythmic drumming, but also with ayahuasca.
Let's go to our wildcard line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Aloha from Hawaii.
Well, hello there. Thank you.
Hi.
Graham, it's such an exciting show. I've heard some of the best shows ever on George's program, and this one has the possibility of opening the minds of millions of Americans and possibly internationally to the possibility of plants and what they're here to teach us.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. I hope that this show and my book, Supernatural, can in some way contribute to do that, to bring in a huge body of information which is rationally and scientifically presented, which gives us permission, if you like, to explore these extraordinary possibilities that our society has been so down on for so long.
Well, I want to say bravo on how you treated that last obviously schizophrenic caller who related marijuana to demonic possession.
Yes, but marijuana cannot be linked to demonic possession. Unfortunately, there are people do have preformed views which are not based on their own experience, but simply what they've heard on the news media, and they haven't really paused to sit down and analyze these views properly.
You know, Graham, I also would wish that governments, at least in this country, the United States, would allow the medicinal use of marijuana to help people. I have interviewed so many people in my broadcasting career.
Yes.
Who cannot take pharmaceutical prescription pain pills.
Absolutely.
Makes them sick. It doesn't work.
Absolutely.
Yet they have tried medicinal marijuana for their pain and their ailments.
And
it works. Dramatic changes.
It works instantly. It is truly a healing and positive plant for so many people. And again, it's a sign of the madness and the criminal violence of our society that it dictates whether or not we may experience the healing effects of this plant. It is an extraordinary thing to call the consumption of marijuana a crime. It is a victimless crime, if it's a crime at all. An individual alone in his or her own house, sampling a plant which has been with humanity since the beginning of time, for that to be called criminal is insane. We live in an insane society that believes it has a right to patrol even our consciousness. Not only to tell us how to behave out there in public, but to tell us actually what to think and what to experience. And that's the main objection to marijuana by our governments, is the effects that it has on consciousness. And they don't care that it is a fantastic pain reliever, which it is. They don't care about its wonderful medical properties. They just want to stop anybody experiencing these effects on consciousness. And no wonder our society is in such a mess, where we imagine we live in a democracy and yet elect governments that actually have the nerve to tell us what we may and may not experience inside our own heads without doing any harm to others.
Yet the poppy fields flourish in Afghanistan.
The poppy fields flourish in Afghanistan. There is so much hypocrisy, so much humbug in government positions on these matters. Governments know perfectly well that the rules that they have made, the misery that they inflict on people's lives, don't get rid of these problems. If we really want to solve the problem of drugs, we need to open up the whole issue to broad public discussion, and we have to accept and admit that certain plant products, such as these ancient hallucinogens that shamans use, are entirely beneficial in their interaction with the human race.
Maybe they don't want us to open up our minds.
This is what governments are afraid of. They are afraid of a citizenry that is fully conscious. They actually want us to be unconscious. They want us to simply focus on this alert, problem-solving, competitive mentality that makes us good consumers and good competitors in the business place. But they don't want us to explore the majestic and amazing depths of our consciousness, because then we just might start asking questions that would be very uncomfortable for the powers that be.
Graham Hancock, stick around for final phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, it'll be that typical Friday night and the Saturday morning open line, so make sure you're part of the program as we take you into the weekend right here on Coast to Coast AM. Graham, can you tell us a little bit about junk DNA, what you believe it is, before we go back to final calls?
Yes, just to go quickly into that, we talked about Francis Crick earlier, the discoverer of the structure of DNA, for which he won a Nobel Prize. And I mentioned one astonishing fact about Francis Crick, which he admitted shortly before his death in 2004, which is that he was under the influence of a hallucinogen, under the influence of LSD, when he first saw the double helix structure of DNA. So this vision, this teaching came to him in an altered state of consciousness. Now, later in his life, in fact, in the 1980s, this Nobel Prize winner, Francis Crick, published an extraordinary book called Life Itself, in which he argues from a scientific point of view that life, the DNA molecule, which is the essence of life, could not have got started by accident on this planet. He didn't believe it could. He compared it to, he said it's about as likely that, you know, this idea of the primeval soup and molecules accidentally bumping against each other, producing life, which so many of our scientists like.
Sure.
Crick compared that to, thought that was about as likely as the assembly of a fully functioning jumbo jet by a hurricane in a junkyard. It is just such an extraordinarily complicated molecule, the DNA molecule, and its relationship to the proteins equally complicated. So to cut a long story short, he suggested it was sent here by an alien civilization from the other side of the universe who faced certain doom, perhaps, as a result of a supernova explosion. They sought to preserve the essence of life, and so they sent bacteria out into the universe in spaceships loaded with DNA. Those bacteria, one of those spaceships, crashed into the early Earth. This theory is Crick's theory. It's called directed panspermia. Its cargo of bacteria spilled out and started reproducing and evolving and eventually became us. And that's honestly how Francis Crick, the Nobel Prize winner, saw the beginning of life on this planet. Now, if by chance he was right, and we can't dismiss that, the man won a Nobel Prize, after all, for the study of DNA, then we have to consider another possibility, which is that that supposed civilization on the other side of the galaxy that sent DNA to this planet may have genetically engineered that DNA. It's recently been discovered that DNA is a fantastic recording medium. Patents are being taken out all over the world to use DNA as a recording device, that it would be possible to record vast quantities of information on DNA. Right now, today, our scientists can record 100-word songs on DNA, and it's been done on the DNA of the E. coli bacteria. But the evidence suggests that its storage capacity is limitless, perhaps even enough to record the entire knowledge of a civilization. So that's the idea, that maybe on so-called junk DNA, which is 97% of our DNA, only 3% of our DNA is involved in genes. The rest, we don't know what it does, and the scientists call it junk DNA. Maybe that contains and has contained since the beginning of evolution recorded messages, interactive recorded information from our makers, waiting for the evolution of a creature that would be able to understand those messages and decode them. And the suggestion is that creature is us, and the decoding method is altered states of consciousness. So this is a parallel possibility that I review in Supernatural, along with the possibility that spirit worlds are real, which I repeat is my favorite of the two possibilities.
First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Good morning.
Oh, hi, my name is Rick from San Diego.
Hey, Rick.
Hi, it's an honor to be on your show, George.
Thank you.
One comment I wanted to make was, I want to make a comment and ask a question
Sure.
My comment is, you know, I since I started studying DMT and when I read Rick Strassman's book 2 years ago, it has occurred to me that the final solution to this war on drugs will be to put a microchip in all of us to suppress our DMT.
Yeah.
And that would be the real meaning behind Revelations, because by cutting us off from DMT, it cuts us off from God, this microchip that will be placed in all of us.
Can I just come in there? Because that's a very interesting point that you're making. Firstly, the way you see our society developing, unfortunately, you're absolutely right. Our society is developing more and more in the direction of a thought police that control every thought we have. And for those thought police, the powers that be in the states that run our lives, the DMT molecule is particularly terrifying because it is, in fact, as you rightly observe, produced by our own brains. Rick Strassman's excellent work at the University of New Mexico, which I report in Supernatural, demonstrated absolutely that DMT is produced in the pineal gland in the brain, and that DMT seems to be our inbuilt mechanism for accessing the other world. In other words, our evolution has made absolutely certain that we can reach the other world, even if we can't get access to plants, because that spirit molecule, as Rick Strassman calls it, is already inside our brain. So yes, the next step in thought control would be to inhibit that spirit molecule and stop any of us ever again from entering the visionary realm.
All right, let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn. Thanks for holding.
Hi, George. It's a pleasure to talk with you again.
Thank you.
Mr. Hancock, I look forward to reading your book, first of all.
Thank you.
And I'm struck by some symbolism here. You mentioned earlier that there was an image on a cave wall of a human with horns and hooves.
Yes,
and
the earliest image ever painted by our ancestors to have come down to us.
interesting. That conjures up, for me, that to my mind, that's reminiscent of the age-old worldwide symbol of the devil. And then you said that, and a probable variant of the goat of Mendes. And then you said that the ayahuasca spirit appears to many as a snake or a group of snakes. Well, there you go with some more satanic or demonic symbolism.
Yes,
so my
you have to remember that the Christian scriptures are edited documents. And if you go to the Gnostic scriptures, which were suppressed by the early Christians, and I'm not surprised they suppressed them because they were afraid of them. If you go to the Gnostic scriptures, you'll find that the serpent is presented as the good guy, not as the bad guy. The serpent is bringing knowledge, after all, to Adam and Eve in the garden.
Gnosticism
It seems
thing.
A strange kind of God that would wish to keep the human creature with its wonderful brain in ignorance.
Well, the serpent
is a liberator.
I've studied Freemasonry, and they worship the snake as a, you know, as a symbol of wisdom and all that. And I'm absolutely convinced it has evil connotations after looking at Quetzalcoatl in Mexico and what they're doing.
I have to beg to differ.
Look into Freemasonry and the New World Order, and you may open your eyes. So my question is, you've never considered that there may be an evil component to these visions?
I'm certain that the other world includes evil as well as good. No doubt about that. Evil is all around us as well as good. The unique predicament of the human being is that we have the power of choice. We do not have to do evil. We do not have to think evil. We do not have to act in an evil way. We can choose. We are not the victims of these forces. So just as we encounter evil in everyday life and must make our personal choices about it, so also we will encounter evil in the spirit world. But we are free to make our choices. We are not puppets. We are not robots. We are human beings with consciousness, and our consciousness is our greatest gift, and we must use every opportunity to explore it rather than shutting it down.
Interesting. Thank you. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Graham Hancock. Hi there.
Hi, this is Nick. I'm calling from South Dakota.
Hello, Nick. Go ahead, sir.
My question for Graham is this. I've been taking some medication, basically just for some mental disorders and such, and I've always kind of had strange feelings. I don't really care to take them, but I'm kind of concerned about getting off of them. I tried that before and it had some pretty bad repercussions, but I'm wondering what the adverse effects may be of taking something like that, and if there's
prescription medications.
Yeah.
I think here's the danger that modern prescription medications for psychological issues are the result of 10 or 20 or 30 years of study. Our scientists, in other words, don't really know what they're doing. They deal out all these antidepressants and various other kinds of psychological drugs, but their track record, their testing period in the human race is 10 or 20 or 30 years. Much better to use plants that have been with humanity since the beginning for tens of thousands of years, never doing any harm. And this is why the shamans, I believe, know much more than the pharmaceutical companies know. There are grave dangers with pharmaceutical psychological drugs, grave dangers, and they can have devastating side effects, although there's no doubt that in some cases they also do help.
Okay, thanks. Let's go now to east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hi. George, Graham, nice to talk to you.
Hi.
I'd like to thank the screener, too. She's pretty pleasant. But first of all, I agree with the stuff about the serpent and all that with your side of it, Graham. Because
thank you.
Zachariah Sitchin and others like that have talked about that kind of stuff, and it's really interesting. But that's another subject. You talk about I'm a little nervous.
Don't worry.
But
give us a sentence, and we'll help you out here. What direction were you going in?
You talk about DMT. You had, Artis had other guests on that talked about it too. And at first I thought that you were that same guest, and then until you said that you hadn't taken it until 2003.
That's right, yeah.
And so
you're thinking of the late, great Terence McKenna, who was one of the brilliant thinkers in this field and one of the great explorers of supernatural realms.
Well, I was living in Arizona when I first heard that, and I did a little research on it, and it talked about being near water had an effect.
Yeah.
And that's interesting, the fact that you talk about, I didn't put two and two together then, but it's interesting that you talk about being in these rainforests where these shamans are using it. So that's all interesting, but I didn't pursue it for very long because I was.
Well, water is to do with the power of place. Rivers, great oceans, lakes, often these can have an effect on our consciousness. What I'm trying to get across is that human consciousness is infinitely variable and that it is affected by many different things, and these effects can retune the receiver wavelength of our consciousness. And so certain environmental phenomena, such as rivers and lakes, undoubtedly do exercise an effect on consciousness as well, and shamans have known this since the beginning of time.
Graham, where do you get the book Supernatural? How do you find it?
Well, Supernatural is available in, of course, all good stores. It's available on Amazon.com. Just look up my name, Graham Hancock, Supernatural, and there it is. It's available through my website, www.GrahamHancock.com, and it'll be, of course, available at all the venues that I'm speaking at in October on my tour in the United States. If my publishers have done their job, Supernatural should be in all the shops, and it's certainly available on Amazon.com.
Excellent. International Line, where are you calling from? You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi there. My name is Mark from Canada, Winnipeg,
hey,
Canada. My question for Graham is this. Talks about in the Bible, various scriptures in the Bible where stay away from strong drink, and it's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It also talks about stay away from drink, stay away from drugs. And I was just wondering, I know that you talked about that modern society has got like a prejudiced eye or a prejudiced view on that sort of thing. But I was wondering, what is your take on why would the Bible and the scriptures that were written thousands of years ago, why would they warn us to not get involved with drugs and with strong drink? And it also talks about do not contact the spirit world, do not get in touch with mediums.
Good question. Good.
Why would the Bible do that?
Good question. Thank you. Thank you very much for asking it. I have two chapters in Supernatural where I try to show that every religion that we have in the world today, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, it doesn't matter which religion you choose, if you trace it right back to its origins, you're going to find a shamanic experience, an experience of contact with other worlds. In a sense, Christ is the ultimate shamanistic figure who moves between realms, who is a guide of souls, who is a healer. Saint Paul on the Damascus Road has a stunning vision that completely changes the direction of his life. These are the shamanic experiences at the root, at the foundation of all the world's religions. But then, you know what happens? Within a few generations, the money men and the bureaucrats come in, the power-hungry priests who want to control everything about the people who come under them. And the first thing these individuals do, who are not themselves in contact with the supernatural realm, who are simply bureaucrats and power mongers, the first thing that they do is that they ban and forbid all of us to have any direct contact with the supernatural realm, because they greedily want to monopolize that position. They want to be the sole intermediaries. And so, unfortunately, all the religions that we have in the world today, although they have a spark at their beginning of direct contact with the supernatural, pretty soon we're looking at things that are really like large corporations or even armies, which are run in a hierarchical fashion and which seek to dictate to the flock what the flock, and notice that word flock, as though we're all sheep, mindless sheep, to dictate to us what we may and may not experience. So it's not surprising that all of the mainstream religions ban and punish, and in fact used to burn at the stake, anybody who explored the supernatural world directly. It's all about control. It's all about power. And that, in the next stage of the human race, as we move forward into this 21st century, that is the burden we have to overcome. We have to take control again of our birthright, which is a birthright of direct contact with the spirit, of admitting the spirit into our lives, of living conscious lives, full of love and caring, not deeply unconscious lives, full of hatred and mistrust, which is what is encouraged in the world today.
Let's go to our final caller. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
This is Mary Michael in Salt Lake. And I have MS, and my doctor is from India, and I started with a shaman, And then I go through crystal balls, and I do it every night just to calm down and relax. And I'm taken places looking through the crystal balls and meditating. Does that make sense to you?
It makes perfect sense to me. Mirror gazing, crystal balls, reflective sheets of water, all of these have been powerful techniques that shamans have used to alter their consciousness. It doesn't have to be the plant hallucinogens. There are a whole range of other techniques, rhythmic dance, drumming and crystal gazing, which also achieve the same effect. And it sounds to me like you are very much in tune with that method of altering your consciousness.
And you have to be, and it takes time. Maybe we do have
time. It takes work. You know, one thing I have to say about ayahuasca and about the alterations of consciousness, these alterations of consciousness, in my view, are revealers of truth. They can show you what is true about the world, about reality, and about yourself. But the next step is what you do with that knowledge, and that's where the work comes in. Taking a shamanic plant hallucinogen is not an automatic road to enlightenment. It will show you what is real, but the rest is up to you. You have to do the work, and it's very hard work and dedicated work and requires the total commitment of your personality and your intelligence.
Graham Hancock, we've got 1 minute left. Anything else you want to wrap up by saying to our audience?
Well, just to say and to understand that science is wrong when it teaches us that the world can be reduced to those things that we can weigh and measure and count. There are extraordinary mysteries all around us, and our society is doing everything in its power to close our eyes and our senses to those mysteries. We need to open our eyes and our senses again, using any techniques that are available, learning from the fantastic experience of shamans accumulated over tens of thousands of years, to understand that we live in a complex and beautiful universe surrounded by dimensions that normally we can't see, but that in certain states of consciousness we can access, and that will heal us, and that will teach us, and that will help us once again to be fully human.
Graham, thanks for being on the program. Very enlightening.
Thank you. Great to talk to you.
For Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Antonia Giordano, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.